Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, our Lord Jesus says something very striking. Now, when you first read it, you wonder, how on earth could it be true? He says, "Ye are the light of the world." Boys and girls, is that true? That we're the light of the world? When you look up in the sky, where does the light come from? What's the light of the world? It's the sun, isn't it? You look up in the sky and you can't look at the sun for very long because it hurts your eyes and you can damage your eyes. But the light's coming from up there, not from us. We're not the light of the world. Why would the Lord Jesus say that? Further, maybe he's not talking about physical light. Maybe he's talking about spiritual light, the light of the truth, that we are the light of the truth shining in the world. But how can that be true? Isn't the Lord Jesus the light? Isn't the Lord Jesus the truth? Isn't God the light? Isn't God the truth? We don't want people to look at us as the spiritual light. We don't want people to think we're the ones that have all the answers. We want people to think that God is the way, that God is the light, that God is the truth. But nonetheless, the Lord Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world." What does that mean? How can it be true in any sense? Well, let me give you an example of another light and how that light further illustrates, perhaps, for our minds what the Lord Jesus is talking about. We've already just mentioned that the sun is really the light, but at night, where does the light in the sky come from? Maybe from a couple stars behind the clouds, but it's the moon, isn't it? On a clear night, you look up and the moon is so bright. You can see the dark spots in the moon and the little circles. And the moon can be so bright. Maybe your mom and dad let you stay up late at night sometime. And you go for a walk in the backyard and it seems almost as bright as day. You could say the sun is the greater light to rule the day and the moon the lesser light to rule the night. But where does the light of the moon come from? Where does the light of God that people see around this world come from? Well, the light of the moon is just a reflection of the light of the sun. That's why the sun, or rather, that's why the moon is the thing we see at night. It reflects the light of the sun to us in the midst of the darkness. But make no mistake, the moon generates no light of its own. It simply reflects the sun. And congregation, this is how we are the light of the world. The light of God. The light of truth. The light of the eternal Word, our Lord Jesus Christ, shines in sinners like us. As he calls us to faith and repentance, changes our minds and our hearts, remakes us in the image of his Son. And through our words, and especially as we'll see through our deeds here in Matthew chapter 5, the light of God shines. That's how indeed our Lord Jesus Christ can say, "Ye are the light of the world." We have no light of our own. We simply reflect the light of his truth and glory from believing hearts and believing actions. But nonetheless, the church truly is the light of God. The light of God. And we hope to see more about this light of God that is the church that should be shining in the world. First, that it is impossible for this light to be hidden. Second, that this light of God shines through good works. And thirdly, this light as it shines reveals the glory of God. Well, the church is the light of God, the light of God in the world. And this is impossible to hide. It is impossible to hide the light of God as it is reflected through the minds and hearts and actions of his people. Our Lord Jesus states it as a matter of fact. Have you ever heard that word? People say it's just a matter of fact. It's not changeable opinions. It's not up for discussion. It's a fact, and it's not going to change. It's a fact. You just have to accept it. And that's what our Lord Jesus says about us being the light of the world. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Can't hide it. How would you try and hide Mount Cham as we drive through the valley here? How would you hide it? It's a mountain. It's there. You can put up a building, but you can always look around it. You can grow more trees, but you can always walk past them. It's there, and there's nothing you can do about it. How many bombs would you have to drop to try and obliterate it? What devastation would you cause in the meantime? That mountain is an immovable fact. So, like a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill, you always have to see it. It's always there. We see some of the housing developments as we drive through the valley or down Highway 1. You can see on the edges of the hills the houses. Maybe you've even looked out your car windows at night. And as you're on your way to Abbotsford, you can see the lights of the streets, the street lights, and the houses. You can see them. Can't be hid. They're there. So are we. So is the church. Congregation, we are God's own making. We are God's own planting. And he has set us here. And that is an indisputable fact. There are times we're tempted to think, and perhaps with great fear think, the church will be wiped out and gone. We're tempted to think that somehow or another plans of the devil or scheming of men will silence the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord has promised us the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He will keep us. He will guide us. He will lead us through. And every child of God is a city on a hill, shining where he has put you for the particular calling he has given you. And do not ever listen to the lies of the devil or the schemes of men or even the weaknesses of your own heart and flesh when you somehow think your light doesn't need to shine, when you somehow think that the marvelous work of God be done, or rather begun in you, could somehow fizzle out. Absolutely not. It is a matter of fact. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And our Lord is and always will be using his church to shine his light. You see, it's a beautiful thing about the moon. The moon simply reflects the light. The moon might have spots on it and dark sections. You look at the moon and it's not smooth. It's not perfect. It's got bumps and problems and crevices and craters. But none of that hinders the power of the light of God shining. We are a city set on a hill. It is a fact. We are the light of God in the world. That is a fact. And our sins and our shortcomings, as horrible as they are, may be used of God, and woe be unto us if this is true, may be used by God to harden the hearts of others in just judgment. As their own unbelieving hearts and minds look at our sins and call us rightly hypocrites, they look at us and call us inconsistent. As other sinners look at other sinners and say, "You're a sinner." That is just all true and the natural man's leaning of mind and heart. But no crevice, no warp, no imperfection in the moon impedes the light of the sun reflecting. So no amount of our sin or our shortcomings or our failures will hinder the light of God shining through you and me. In fact, he will even use them. Imagine King David in the midst of his murder, in the midst of his adultery, to what is so often considered extreme, though sadly all too common sins. He has used those to further the light of the gospel shining, so people would understand sin, so people would understand their weaknesses, so people would understand the mercy and the glory and the power of God. Our sins don't hinder the shining of his light. He, by his sovereign grace, will even use that for the glory of his kingdom. We are a city on a hill, impossible to be hidden. And the light will shine. It is a matter of fact. But it's not only a matter of fact, it's also a matter of design. It's a matter of design. God has purposefully made us, purposely set us to shine that light. It goes from speaking of matter of fact in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid," to a matter of design in verse 15. "Neither do men light a candle." Already there's the language of purpose. A candle somebody made. Take a string and a piece of wax, and the idea is, I need something to give me light in the midst of darkness. And it needs to be able to last so I can see. So they made a candle so it can burn slowly and light can be given. There is design in the idea and structure of the candle. Further, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. There is purpose. There is design and there is purpose. You don't light the candle to cover it up so you can't see it. I'll give you another illustration. It's dark at night. Maybe the power's off in your house at night. And you turn on your flashlight. Or in Australia, as we used to call it, you ignite your torch. And your light's flashing in your bedroom and the living room, reflecting off the windows, and you can see the furniture and the floor, your brother and sister. You don't turn on your flashlight and then put your hand over it, do you? You might do that to play a game. You might do that to look at your hand and see the light come through. But if you want to see in the dark, you don't cover up the flashlight, do you? It doesn't make any sense. It's the same thing when you have a candle lit to give light. That's the purpose of the candle. You've lighted the candle so you can see. You don't put a basket over it so then it's dark again. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Rather, what they would do is they would take the candle and they would put it high up on a candlestick. Because as the candle is up high, you know what happens? The light spreads out. If you put the candle down lower, the light doesn't spread as far. They would set it up higher so it would shine further. It's like your flashlight. You shine it sideways, you can see things. You kind of shine it upwards and you can see more. But if you could hang it on the ceiling like we do with our light fixtures, the light comes down, doesn't it? And everyone can see. You see, our Lord has made his church the light of God in the world, not simply as a matter of fact, that she is impossible to be hidden because she rests on his grace and his glory and his work, but it's a matter of design. He had a purpose. He had a purpose. The Lord isn't forced to use the church because she was the best he could find. The Lord designs, the Lord purposes and uses the church to shine his light. In other parts of the scriptures, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is that which is like a pedestal displaying to the world the truth of God. But perhaps you question the Maker's design here. Perhaps you question the Maker's design. Why would you use sinners, redeem sinners to shine the light? Our bulbs aren't that bright, humanly speaking. Our batteries seem always on the blink. Our wicks always flicker. And it seems like the wax might always be tempting to drown the flame. If we are called to be the light of the world, and if God has designed us to do so, why is it we always seem to do such a horrible job, is it? We don't put the light of the candle high, we put it low. Sometimes we keep it for ourselves. Sometimes it even seems, in the midst of temptation and struggle, we're trying to put the light out our own selves. Why would the Lord do that? What is his purpose? What is his design? What does he see in us we don't see in us? What makes us the vehicle and tools he would use to shine forth his light in this world? What is there that's so worthy about us we don't see? And the answer, congregation, is absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just like the moon. The light of the moon has nothing to do with the moon, and it has everything to do with the sun. You and I, there's nothing good in us, nothing striking on us. As we'll see a bit further, the light is to be shined through us, not so people would see us, but so people would see the Father and glorify him, that he may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In verse 16, he says, God's very purpose, his very brilliance, his very marvelous engineering as a glorious creator and redeemer is to use imperfect vessels, to choose the foolish things, as the Apostle Paul says, to use the weak things, as the Apostle Paul says, so there's no glorying in us. He uses us as the light of the world, makes us impossible to hide like a city on the hill. And he, as a matter of design, has chosen to use redeemed sinners for his purpose. We don't know the deep things of God's purpose. Certain things in Scripture, and I hope the Lord has taught you in your own heart that these things are true. That number one, it's not about you and there is no good thing in you. That keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. Helps us think lowly and rightly of ourselves as creatures in need of his grace and help. But second, it speaks so rightly and powerfully of him. Then for us, as we would reflect his light, as it were, it's about his glory, his goodness, his mercy, his greatness, his glorious design, and the salvation his Son has wrought and applies by the power of his Holy Spirit. This is all according to design. This is all according to purpose. Even before the world was. So acknowledge your shortcomings. Acknowledge your sins. Let them drive you daily and hourly afresh back to the Lord Jesus. But never be discouraged in Him. Never think your shortcomings can somehow hinder God's plans. Don't think your weakness stops His strength. Rather, these things all fit according to His great design, so His light will shine. And it is a light impossible to be hidden. But if this light is so impossible to hide, how does it shine? It shines as a matter of fact and according to design, but how does this light shine? How are we the light of the world? What does it actually look like? Scientists really don't know what light is, if they're honest. Light is a wave, like a sound wave, or maybe even like an ocean wave in some ways. But light also is a particle, like little other particles that make up atoms and then molecules, little particles. Waves act one way, particles act another. Light acts like both. But here, it is not so mysterious what this light is that shines through. It shines through good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What is the light? The light is Christ alive in you by His Spirit. And that life, that light of Christ alive in you by His Spirit, shows itself by how you use your mouth, how you use your tongue, how you use your hands, where your feet take you, what you use before your eyes. All different things. You see, people can't see Jesus alive in you and His light of life in you other than by your actions, other than by your deeds. No mystery here. Plain and simple. The spiritual life of the Word alive in you, showing itself through your actions. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. This light shines, it says, through our actions before men. Before men. And already our Lord is instructing us and helping us greatly. The light is to shine before people. Before people. Not before you. Let your light shine before before others, not before yourself. Sometimes Christians get confused. They're so focused on seeing the good works in themselves as confirmation of the light of Christ in them that they forget they're supposed to be letting their light shine before others. They're so worried about seeing the light themselves that they don't let it shine before others. If your flashlight isn't working, you shake it and get the batteries to make contact. Maybe you've seen this. I've done this. It's such a foolish thing. You hold the flashlight up to your face. Is it working? The light shines on me. But the point of the flashlight is the light shines out there. Congregation, we must always be concerned about doing our good works of service to God to help others. Not, I will do my good works for me to prove my faith to me. It's a very selfish focus, though it may be well-intended. These are good works done to God for his service before men. Give thought out of love to Christ and your neighbor how you can serve others. Don't think about yourself. What can you do to help others? What if all our energy and time you would spend focusing on ourselves were to be spent on others? That's how our light shines. And if you would like to see, as a child of God, the light of Christ alive in you, shining, don't do good works for yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look at the needs of others and how you can serve them out of love for Christ and their own souls. Let this light shine before men, before other sinful people further. Not only not yourself, but before other sinners. We often want our light to shine before other people that are good. All do good deeds to those who are worthy. All do nice things to those people who won't take advantage of me. All do good things to those people who are worthy of it. But that is not how we are to do good works, or even for whom we are to do good works. We are to do good works for sinners, not the people we find acceptable. We are to do good works to all men, the men and women who are acceptable to us and the men and women who are not, the men and women who are clean and the men and women who are dirty, the men and women who are righteous in the eyes of the world and the men and women who are not righteous in the eyes of the world. Do good to all, expecting nothing in return. That's how we let our light so shine before men. And if we would let our light shine before men, we must do it to those who are around us. Around us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's something marvelously instructive here as well, even in light of the image the Lord Jesus gives of the candlestick in the dark. In a small house, the candle set up on a stick shines in a limited area compared to what we're used to. Now we flick the switch on the wall and every light in the house goes on. But the houses were smaller, didn't have as many rooms, and the light would shine just enough for people to see. It was a limited area. Like when the scriptures talk about the word of God being a lamp unto my feet. The lamp you would hold as you would walk down the road cast just enough light for you to see what's right in front of you. So here, when it says, let your light shine before men, we are not talking about our marvelous spotlight that we are going to shoot across the valley at one particular spot. That's often the way we think of good works. I will take my money and I will shoot it across the world to a marvelously good cause, which is a good thing to do. I will study the scriptures, and I will train, and I will pray, and I will work, and I will go someplace far away to tell people about the glories of God and the goodness of the Heavenly Father. And that is good. But the emphasis here is, let your light so shine before men. Shine where you are. Show good deeds. Do good things. Let that light of love and salvation the Lord has planted in your heart shine out of love to him and others, to those right around you. Shine to your children. Shine to your grandchildren. Shine to your parents. Shine to your neighbors. Shine to your school students. Shine to your classmates. Shine to the guys at work and the ladies in the office. Let your light shine before men where you are. It's good to give money to purposes far away. It's good to send money for men and women to go do mission work far away. But congregation, the mission field is right before our eyes. We're called to let our light shine before men, to those who are right around us. And as we do, by the grace of God, this light that shines through our good works will reveal the Heavenly Father. Will reveal the Heavenly Father. Let your light shine before men, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that they may see your good works. And the purpose doesn't end in them seeing our good works. The purpose of God's light shining, the great design of His church, the marvelous matter of fact that she is impossible to be hidden, culminates not in our good works, but in His glory. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. To put it to you another way, congregation, the good works that we do in service to others do not reveal us. They do not reveal us. There is such a natural tendency, even in the most advanced in grace among us, that when we do something good, when we do something right, when we serve God from the heart, we want somebody to tell us we did good. We want someone to tell us that was a good job. We want someone to tell us we did right. We want someone to assure us that it was the right motive, done in the right way, and that it truly was pleasing to God. We want confirmation. We want reassurance. And, to be quite honest, maybe this need spiritually comes from a practical failing. Maybe it comes from a practical failing. Fathers, do we tell our children we are proud of them? And do we encourage them? Do you use positive reinforcement when your child does a good job? Or do you just criticize them when they don't do as good a job as you would like? There can be in the minds and hearts of people, especially in our day and age, especially if you come from a broken family, where you never had a father to approve of you, let alone to try and win his approval. There can be all kinds of practical issues, matters of emotions, matters of heart and experience that wash over in our spiritual thinking. We must make sure to encourage one another, to praise one another rightly and truly, to seek to uphold each other in our good works, in families and in the church. But nonetheless, this spiritual deficiency exists. Maybe it is practically traced to another problem. But nonetheless, there is the spiritual deficiency where we want it to be about ourselves. Congregation, by nature, we're not content to be the moon. By nature, we want to be the sun. And there are times when we do our good works. We don't want, first and foremost, in the immediacy of our desires, to have it be given to the Father. We want it to be given to us. And our Lord Jesus, according to His great design, slowly, sometimes painfully, but gloriously, removes that from His children and mortifies it. So it stops being about them. That our good works and our service are not anything about us, but about Him. Revealing not you and I, but revealing the Father. Revealing the Father and leading to His glory. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That they would see, as it were, the light of the Lord Jesus shining through your actions, and they would forget about you. And praise God. And praise God. To give you another practical example, that is the hope of every minister. That underneath the preaching of the Word of God, you would not think, wow, that was a great sermon, or anything about the pastor or the job he did or didn't do, but that you would listen prayerfully for what the Lord is speaking to you through His Word, and you would walk out totally forgetting about the man. What a dishonor it would be if people focused on the ambassador of the king rather than on the king. What a horrible thing it would be if the works we would do in love to show others the glories of God, to tell them of their sin, to tell them of the Lord Jesus, to tell them of the grace and truth and mercy of a loving heavenly Father. And then they said, oh, we like the way they said that. They're a really good person. You want them. Your heart's desires for them to focus on the Father, to give glory to Him, to look to Him, not to you, not to yourself. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. The Lord Jesus has made us such if we have come to Him by repentance and faith. He has made us such as He is currently making us again afresh in the image of Himself according to the will of His Father. And as that image, that light of Christ shining in us, His marvelous Spirit living through us, that people see by our good works, other sinful men and women just like us, and those people just right around us, in our families, at our workplaces, and in our homes. And it must be the desire of our hearts not to have the people that we would seek to shine the light of focus upon us, or to see the light in ourselves, for ourselves, but to see it shine to others, those who are without. To do it otherwise would be as silly as to think the light of the moon were anything special, or give any credit to the moon, when all that shines reflectedly from the glory, rather, all that shines from the moon, rather, is the reflected glory of the sun. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy light which shines in this world, even through sinful people, sinful men and women and boys and girls like us. So, Lord, we pray our lights would shine. And Lord, add more bulbs, as it were, to our number, that people would truly show forth the goodness of God, and Thou would get glory and honor for Thyself in the salvation of sinners and the expansion of Thy kingdom. Our Heavenly Father, we pray these things and ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.